Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Richard here welcoming you to the audio version of our worship service. This service is also available in video format online, and we're delighted that you're listening to the service today. Our theme this week is Recentered, Recentering Our Lives on Jesus Christ. And do remember now that our church building is now open for worship at 11 a.m. each Sunday. No evening services, just 11 a.m. in the morning. We have put in all the measures to make sure that everyone is socially distant and as safe as possible. We do have seats available in the church, and we also have an overflow available in the hall. And if you're able to come and join us, you will be made very welcome. So do consider coming back and joining with us. But let's worship God now as we recenter our lives on Him. Welcome to Burnside at Home. Thanks so much for joining with us today as we worship God together. I know for many of you, you're unable to join with us in person, but our Sunday services are now open, and I know I said over the last few weeks that all the seats were taken. I think that may have scared a few of you off, and we do have space now on a Sunday, so do come and join with us. We've also got an overflow in the hall where you can come and be part of our service as well. So if you are able to come on a Sunday, please do so. We've put in all of the measures that we possibly can to make things as safe as possible for you to come and join with us in person. I know it's not quite the way we remember church. It's not quite as good as church used to be, but it's still important to meet together, to have fellowship together. We're going to be thinking about that throughout our service today. We're going to be looking once again at Psalm 122. We've used it a couple of times as our call to worship, where the psalmist says, "I rejoiced with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" And we're going to be looking at how our lives can be recentered on Jesus Christ. It's so easy for our lives to get knocked away from Jesus, to be heading in a slightly different direction from Jesus. And so today the theme is being recentered on Jesus, focusing on Jesus Christ, putting Him at the center of our lives so that everything else in life fits around Him and is part of Him in us. So we invite you to come to the house of the Lord and worship God today. That may be virtually as you stay at home, but if you're able to come and join with us in the weeks ahead, please do so as we join together in worshiping God. It's important that we have fellowship with each other. It's important that we pray for one another. It's important that we have community together. And that's what we're going to be looking at together today. So let's worship God. Let's praise Him. Let's honor Him. And let's recenter our lives on Jesus and place Him on the throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we come to pray, we come using a prayer that was part of our Let's Pray from PCI over the past week. And it's a prayer asking that God would refine us through our experience of Him during this coronavirus time. So let us pray together. Heavenly Father, You have promised to be like a refiner's fire, proving and purifying our lives as Your people. You refine us like silver and test our lives like gold. In these last months, we have suffered grief and known all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of our faith, of far greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. It all sounds so stirring and heroic when we read it on the page of Scripture. But like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego of old in the fiery furnace, we have felt the heat of the flames that have licked around our lives. We're not sure whether we shine brighter or we are in danger of shrinking back from the lessons you have taught us. But we want your refining to redefine our lives as your people and as your church. Help us to take confidence that as we have walked through the fire, we have not been burned and the flames have not set us ablaze. Already refined by the experience of pandemic and lockdown, give us a fresh faith to call on your name and to know that you will answer us and say, "They are my people," so that we can reply with new vigor, "The Lord is our God." As your work in us is further revealed by fire in these days, and that furnace tests the quality of our life and witness, may we be further refined in your ways for us. Reformed, remolded, reshaped, repolished, reignited for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have to admit today I'm in a bit of a dilemma. I'm not really sure the right way to pitch this. I'm not sure the right things to say. So please forgive me if I hit the wrong tone with this, and bear with me, because I think you'll understand that it's coming from my heart, but I really just don't know the right way to express this at the moment. Today we're thinking about recentering our lives on Jesus Christ, and I fully 100% believe that the best way to center your life on Jesus Christ is to be part of the church and to worship together with the church. Because whenever you come to church, you meet with other believers, you encourage one another, you hear God's word, you sing God's praise, and it's an experience that we can't replicate on our own. Now, that all said, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There was for a number of months that we couldn't meet together, and therefore, the only thing we could do was this process of me speaking to the camera and you worshipping at home. Not ideal, but better than nothing by a long stretch. Now we're opened up again, but there are lots of restrictions in place. Many of you have underlying health concerns and you're just not ready to come back out again. Others of you are ready to go back out into the world, have been in other establishments, but you've perhaps just got out of the habit of coming to church again. So there's a dilemma here. I'm not trying to tell people off, absolutely not. That's not my style. But what I want to do is, I want to say that if you're ready to go into other establishments, I reckon you could be ready to come back to church as well. And church is going to be an important place in your life to be centered on Jesus Christ. Today we're thinking about being recentered on Jesus, because it's very, very easy to allow him to slip off to one side or the other. So with all of that said, and you understand that I'm not trying to tell anyone off here, and I'm certainly not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody or force anybody into doing anything, but if you've sat in a coffee shop, the experience in church will seem much safer, because you're at a much greater distance and there's less going on and there's less coming in past you. That's just one little example. So all of that said, I want to share with you something that I've shared before. You've probably heard it before, but it's 10 reasons for not washing. And of course, it applies to coming to church and worshiping God. 10 reasons are as follows. I was forced to wash as a child, and I don't like to wash anymore. People who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than everyone else. There are so many different kinds of soap available, I could never decide which one was right. I used to wash, but it got boring, so I stopped. I do wash on special occasions like Christmas and Easter and harvest.
None of my friends wash, so there's not much point in me washing. I'm still young. When I'm older and I've got a bit dirtier, then I might consider washing. The bathroom is never warm enough to spend any time there washing. And people who make soap are only after your money. Of course, those are all reasons that we could have used before lockdown for not coming to church. But of course, now we've got this opportunity to come back. And so if you feel ready to do that, do come and join with us as we try to recenter. If you're not ready, then please do stay at home. Please tune in each week and worship through Burnside at Home. And let's be part of encouraging one another and building one another up and helping one another. Let's pray together. And as we do so, once again, we want to give thanks for your offerings, your generosity to God's work here in this place. And we also want to bring our prayers for others. Later on in the service, as we look at Psalm 122, we're going to see some things that we can pray to God for his people. That one of our responsibilities as the people of God is to pray for one another and indeed to pray for the world around us. So as we pray, we're going to use some of those examples given in Psalm 122, and then we'll look at them a little later in the service. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, today we give you thanks once again for your wonderful generosity to us. And Lord, as you have given to us, so now we give to you and we dedicate this offering to you. We thank you, Lord, for those who have given, many sacrificially, and we ask, Lord, that all of these offerings would be taken and used for your glory. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us as your people to pray in the Old Testament for Jerusalem, to pray for peace and unity and justice, to pray for security and protection and prosperity of that city. But today, Lord, we recognize that we are your people, that we, the church, are the new Jerusalem here on earth. And so, Lord, we recognize this call for us to pray for one another as we worship together, but also to pray for our society and to pray for this land that we live in. And so today, Lord, we pray for peace. Not just the absence of war in the world, but we pray for inner peace. So many people are living today in turmoil and unrest. So many people are struggling with mental health. And Lord, we pray for your peace. And we pray for your contentment. We pray for your health, Lord, and your wholeness and completeness in each one's lives. As we worship today, Lord, we consider all those who are worshiping with us, and we bring them before your throne in prayer. We pray for unity together, Lord, that you would bind us with ties of fellowship in Jesus Christ. And even though we are in our own homes, we thank you that we are united through your Holy Spirit. And we pray for that unity, that compactness together. We pray also today, Lord, for justice. We look out into the world and we see so many who are ill-treated. We see so many who are discriminated against. We see so many who do not have opportunities that perhaps we have. And so, Lord, we pray for justice. We pray for your judgment. We pray, Lord, for people to be treated fairly and equally, and each one who has been created in your image to be treated with respect and dignity. Lord, we also pray today for security and for protection. We thank you that your name is a strong tower and the righteous can run into you and feel safe. Therefore, Lord, we pray for that security and protection in our lives today. Help us, Lord. May we know your hand upon us, especially in these uncertain times as restrictions are increased. We pray, Lord, that you would give great wisdom to government and to leaders, that we would know the right way to react to these new demands. And we pray, Lord, for safety. As we look to the numbers increasing, we pray that the infection rate would come down. But Lord, not just about coronavirus, we pray for all the other health areas that are being impacted because of coronavirus. And we pray that people would receive the treatment that they need and the help and the support that they rely upon. So Lord, we bring all these, our prayers, before you today because we recognize the responsibility that you've given to us, and we recognize the privilege that it is to be able to intercede on behalf of others. And so Lord, we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. After we read from Psalm 122, then we're going to have a piece before we look at God's word together. And it's a piece called Jesus Be the Center, where we recenter our lives on Jesus Christ and build everything around him.
Psalm 122. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the Lord's house." And now we are here, standing inside the gates of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city restored in beautiful order and harmony. This is where the tribes come, the tribes of Israel, to give thanks to the Lord according to his command. Here the kings of Israel sat to judge their people. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper. May there be peace inside your walls and safety in your palaces. For the sake of my relatives and friends, I say to Jerusalem, peace be with you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I pray for your prosperity.
Believe it or not, as I go to record this message for you this morning, the sun is shining in through the windows and shining into my eyes that I can't look into the camera. So I've had to go for this slightly different angle today. I hope that doesn't put you off, maybe a little bit of variety. But I wonder, do you ever remember those mechanical bathroom scales that you used to get? You know, the ones with a dial on them, and whenever you would stand on the scales, either the dial would spin or there would be a needle that would show you your weight. And depending on the scales and depending on how long they've been used, you could lose half a stone quite easily by just stepping onto the scales if they weren't quite set at the right point. Every now and again, you'd have to recenter the dial or recenter the needle to make sure that it was pointing at zero before you stood on, because you could have it slightly below zero, or it would be awful if it was slightly above zero and it was adding on weight. But whenever you recenter it, then you get the accurate value of it. And today we're thinking about something very similar. We're thinking about being recentered, recentering our lives on Jesus Christ. And it's so easy to allow our lives to drift off to one way or the other. During lockdown, we had this wonderful experience where life slowed down. We had more time to think about things. We were focused on what was important, and worship and God became central to our lives. And there were very few other distractions, and we'd watch the Burnside at Home on a Sunday, and maybe we'd tune into another church as well. And then during the week, perhaps the moderator service or something else. And we'd have all these ways where we were focused on Jesus. We were centered on him. We were putting him first. But then as lockdowns lifted and there are more pressures and more things, demands on our time, slowly the dial gets knocked one way or the other, And Jesus perhaps is no longer at the center of our lives. And we need to ask ourselves, what is at the center of my life? What is it that all other decisions are based upon in my life? What is it that makes the difference? For some people, it's their job. And whatever else they do in life, all their decisions are based upon making sure that they're good at their job, that they have time for their job, that they're able to do as well as possible at their job. Some people, their motivating force is money. And whatever they do in life, it's all based upon money. How much money they can make or how much money it will cost them. They're going on holiday even and they're thinking very much about the cost. But they're looking at other things as they make a deal. Will this make me money or will it lose me money? And everything's motivated by that. Not necessarily about for their own good or for the good of those around them, but money. For some people, their motivating force isn't something that appears to be bad. It appears to be good. It's their family. And they make sure that every decision that they make is for the good of their family. But at times, that can be distracting as well because we put family before everything else and then other things begin to suffer. And it can be exactly the same with friends. You put your friends first above everything else and then other things begin to suffer. You decide whether you're going to do something or not based upon your friends. What your friends will think of you, what they will say to you about your actions. And perhaps there are things that you stop doing because you know that your friends won't be happy with it. And that can be the case sometimes of God. And we worry about what others will say to us whenever we have God in our lives. And this past week, there was a quote in the Prism series of Bible studies that we're looking at. And the quote went like this: perhaps recent years have seen a lessening of commitment to one another and to God in church life. Just highlighting the fact that sometimes church life isn't quite as important as we once thought it was. Might this be a time when God renews and re-centers our church life together? Might a take it or leave it attitude be replaced with a new desire to give and go? And that's where we're at the minute, where we can be re-centered on Jesus Christ. Put Jesus at the center of our lives, refocus the needle on Jesus so that he is our top priority, so that all the other decisions that we make are based around Jesus and his commands and his demands on our lives. So if it's a decision at work, we think about how it impacts Jesus. If it's a decision about our friends or our family, we think about how it impacts Jesus. If it's a decision about money, we think about how that money was given to us by Jesus Christ and how we're to be good stewards of it. We refocus on Jesus. And refocusing on Jesus involves our worship and how we approach Jesus. And we need to ask ourselves, is it a chore or a delight? Is it a chore or a delight to worship God? Because it should be a delight. It should be the most wonderful thing that we do. But for many people, it becomes a chore because they fall out of love with Jesus. The dial gets nudged to the side, and instead of going straight for Jesus, they're heading into other things, and other things in life are taking priority, and therefore it becomes a chore to worship God. But if we're recentered on Jesus, then it becomes a delight. And we need to ask ourselves, is God a chore or a delight to me? Is he something that's positive in my life, or is he something that I just have to do and have to go along with? In the psalm that we've been thinking about so far in our service today, it begins in verse 1 with this most dramatic, welcoming verse. I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And that is a wonderful statement where the psalmist is saying, God is not a chore. He is my delight. This is just the best thing ever to be able to go and worship God and recenter my life on God. And this psalm was usually sung as part of a pilgrimage. The children of Israel would be heading to Jerusalem from all the outlying areas. And this is part of a number of psalms of ascent that we've looked at in the past. And they would have sung this psalm on their way towards Jerusalem, anticipating what it was going to be like to worship God. Is that the way that we approach worship? Now, I know, and I've said it before today, and I can't say it enough, I know that there are restrictions and there are reasons why we don't all meet together at the moment, but is it a delight for us to come into God's presence and to worship Him and to praise Him? Are we saying, as others are coming and saying that come to the house of the Lord, are we saying, oh, that is great. Such rejoicing, such gladness to be in God's presence, to recenter on Jesus Christ. This is what my life needs. This is what I need to be doing. Because if we're not coming with that attitude, then the dial is getting nudged to the side and we're no longer focused on Jesus and we're no longer centered on Him. So we need to ask ourselves today, is Jesus at the center? Is Jesus at the center of my life? Is everything that I'm doing based on Jesus and based on what He wants for me? Because if Jesus is not at the center, then we will have huge problems in our life. Worship will be a chore. Life will be a chore. Obeying God's commands will be a chore rather than being a delight. So Jesus needs to be at the center. Now, one way of deciding or helping us evaluate whether Jesus is at the center. Do you remember Rico Tice whenever he came over as part of our seven churches a good number of years ago? Rico continually said that if you want to know what is important to you, look at your bank balance and look at your calendar. Look at where you're spending your money and look at where you're spending your time. And if you look at those two things, you will see what is important. You will see what your life is based around. You will tell what is at the center. And if you're spending your money and you're spending your time on Jesus Christ, then He's at the center. But if you're spending it elsewhere, then perhaps that other thing is at the center. So today, as we look at Psalm 122, we ask ourselves, well, how do I make Jesus Christ central? What is it that I need to do to make sure that I'm recentered on Jesus and that He is number one? So that's what we're going to look at together from this passage together. And to make Jesus central, we need to worship Him. We need to glorify Him. We need to honor Him. And this psalm is all about worship. It's worship for the children of Israel going to Jerusalem, but it's worship for us as God's people here and now. And if we worship, if we make worship central to our lives, then God becomes a delight, not a chore. He becomes someone that we just love to be in His presence and we love to offer Him worship. Is that what your worship is like today? Is that what fills your heart? That God is your delight and you just long to be with Him. That you long for the service to last longer because you want to spend more time with Him. Very seldom we ever come like that. And yet that is what it means to have Jesus central to our lives. So what does this look like? What can we do? Well, let's go through the psalm together and let's look at the very next verse, verse 2. Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. The children of Israel were looking forward to that point. They were looking forward to going to Jerusalem. They were setting out on this journey to Jerusalem and they're imagining the moment that they get to Jerusalem and they are standing there. Now, of course, Jerusalem is no longer the place that we go to worship. Now, we are the people who worship. We are, as we were thinking last week, we are the living stones built together into a building to worship God. We are the church. And so whenever we come together as church to worship, we are like the city of Jerusalem. We're standing together, ready to worship God and ready to honor Him. So what does it look like whenever we put that worship central to our lives, and Jesus is now central to our lives. Well, it involves unity. We have unity in Jesus Christ. And this is what Jerusalem is like. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together, we're told in verse 3. Now, Jerusalem was quite a small city. You could walk around it very quickly. You could see all the walls. Wouldn't take you long to get from one side to the other. You imagine going to Derry nowadays. Derry's quite a small city. If you look at the city walls, you can walk around them in no time at all. It's compact. And that's what Jerusalem was like. Whenever you got there, you realize that there's a lot of people about, there's a lot of activity, but it's compact, it's together, it's closely knit. And that's what it means to worship. We have unity, we're brought together, we are close. And that idea of compact in the Hebrew is from the same word as companion, compact, companion, together, unity. We're together and helping one another and supporting one another in unity. Then, of course, that worship also involves praise. And we can see that in verse 4. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. And that's what God did. He called Israel to go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the place that he set for them to go and worship him. And now, of course, the church is the place where we come to worship God together. We are the church as we meet together in his name. So there's praise involved. There's unity with the people, but then there's praise as we worship God, as we honor him, as we tell others how wonderful he is and what a great God he is. But whenever we come together as church to worship God, there is also justice. The gates of judgment, the thrones of judgment, as we read in verse 5. There the thrones of judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. And so there in Jerusalem was the place where justice was dealt. You could go to Jerusalem, and if you had a problem, you could ask for it to be judged. And there at the city gates, the elders would sit and you could bring your problems to him. You remember whenever Boaz was wanting to marry Ruth, he went to the elders at the city gate and he put forward his proposition and they decided whether he was allowed to do that or offer the opportunity to the near kinsman to take Ruth. And so whenever we come together as God's people, there should be a sense of justice. That we look out for one another, that we care for one another, that we are concerned about justice in the world, that we're concerned that people would be treated fairly and equally, that we're concerned whenever our brothers and sisters are persecuted for their faith and they're not shown the respect that they deserve. And so we need to look for that justice in the life of the church as we worship God together. So how do we do this? How do we get this unity and this justice and this praise? How do we do this? Well, it may come as no surprise to you that we are to pray. Now, that's a simple answer to give today. Oh, we pray. You just go and you pray and that's it. It just seems like the standard response that you'd expect from a minister. It's a standard response that you'd expect from a church. But can I say that there is nothing standard about praying? There is nothing to be put down about praying. Praying here is vital. And if we catch a glimpse of what prayer is supposed to be like, it will transform our lives. It will help us day by day to recenter on Jesus and to refocus on Jesus. So what do we pray for? Well, first of all, in verse 6, we pray for peace. And then again in verse 8. In verse 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And in verse 8, for the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. Now, this is not just coming and saying, okay, we want peace in the world. Lord, we pray that there be an end to war. It's not just an end to war. Peace in the Bible is something that's not just negative, getting rid of war. It's something positive. It's peace. It's contentment. It's wholeness. It's completeness. If your life is at peace, it's complete. It's perfect. And that's what we need to pray. And we're to pray it for Jerusalem. So in other words, we're to pray it for one another. We're to pray it for our church. We're to pray it for the living blocks of our church. We're to pray it for one another. So today, take a moment and pray for somebody else who is part of our church and pray that they would know God's peace. Whatever their situation, you know perhaps their situation, you know what they need in their life, pray for peace. That there would be an absence of conflict, but also that there would be completeness and wholeness in their lives. And pray that they would know that peace. Then we also pray for security. In verse 6, may those who love you be secure. We want to pray that for one another, that we'd have assurance of our faith, assurance of eternal life, but security and safety day by day in our lives, that we would feel safe in God's presence and that we would know that he's with us. We see that security again in verse 7. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. Talking about Jerusalem, it's the walls of the city where you have security inside. Talking about the church, it's the fellowship among us where we have that security and that reassurance and that help. We then also pray for protection. Again in verse 7, may there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels, protection from God, that he would look after us and care for us, that we would care for one another and protect one another. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into him and feel safe. And today we long for that protection. And we pray for that protection day by day as we go about our daily lives with so many threats against us, and especially with this virus at the moment. We ask for God's protection and we look to him for protection. And then also in verse 9, we're asked to pray for prosperity. Now, that's a difficult word, but let's unpack it a little bit. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. In other words, we want to seek what is best for other people. We want to make other people rich, as it were. Rich in God's presence, rich in God's blessing, rich in God's grace and mercy. We want to pray that people's lives would be as good as they possibly can. Not that they'd be overflowing with money and riches in that way, but that they spiritually would have prosperity and richness in God. We know that verse from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's a wonderful verse. It doesn't mean to say that our bank balances are going to be overflowing, but it means that God has a plan for us, that things would be good in our lives if we trust him and find hope in him, that he would be with us and that he will not forsake us. So we want to recenter our lives on Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that as we go out into the world and we go in and out of lockdown and restrictions are lifted and imposed, that we recenter on Jesus day by day, week by week. That we don't allow the dial just to get nudged off and go off in an odd direction. And we do that through worship. Abraham Lincoln, whenever he was asked, he has a famous quote about going and chopping down trees. And he says, give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. And worship is us sharpening the axe. Worship is us sharpening the axe so that we are ready to go out into the world. Worship is us pausing and taking that time to sharpen our lives so that we are prepared to go out and prepared to tell others the good news and to share grace and mercy wherever we go. So it is wonderful that we are able to come to Jesus Christ today and recenter our lives upon him. So let's bow before him in prayer. Lord God, help us today to recenter on Jesus Christ. Help us to focus on Jesus. Help us to center our lives on Jesus and build everything else around him. Help us, Lord, not to allow things to get knocked off one way or the other, but help us to keep Jesus firmly in our sights and keep walking towards him day by day. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn then is really a benediction, and it's sung by the Gettys, and it's a benediction where we ask for the peace of God in our lives, that we would know this peace that the psalmist is speaking about in Psalm 122. As we come to the end of our service, this is now the blessing, the benediction, which is pronounced on each one who has worshipped here. Now we pray that the security of our Lord Jesus Christ, the prosperity of God our Heavenly Father, and the peace of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore.